Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There's only one right way to live life, and that's God's way. He's the author, the creator, and the designer. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study how to overcome 10 of life's greatest challenges. That's next on Daily in the Word. Stay with us. God designed and created life. He knew what our struggles would be, and He knew how desperately we would need Him as our Savior. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study how to overcome life's greatest challenges. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to study the Ten Commandments. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday. We hope you'll join us for every step of this series. If you have missed a portion of this series or would like to hear recent broadcasts, don't forget you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You can also subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you on your phone or iPod or personal computer. Once again, you can find all of this and much, much more at dailyintheword.org. Today we're looking at Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, keeping purity. Here's Pastor Chappell.
The Houston Chronicle recently reported, "The grass on the other side of the fence may start off green, but it usually ends up brown. 75 to 85% of all men who have had an affair end up staying with or returning to their wife. Of those who divorce, only 15% marry the woman with whom they had the marriage-wrecking affair. Affairs are destructive and do not deliver what they seem to promise." Now, how many of you would agree with me this morning? You don't have to read the Houston Chronicle to figure that out. It's right here in the Word of God. God says it in a different way. He just says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And the seventh commandment is about keeping a promise of sexual purity. Now, this is a commandment, to be sure, that relates to the body, but it relates to more than the body. It relates to the heart of every Christian. Randy Alcorn, in his book available in our bookstore entitled The Purity Principle, calls this matter of purity every man's battle. Every man's battle. And I believe that to be accurate when you consider the words of Jesus Christ, which are found in our notes this morning, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. Jesus said it this way, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Jesus calls this adultery because, like murder, adultery begins in the heart first. As a man thinketh, so is he. Overcoming the challenge to remain pure, then, overcoming the challenge to maintain purity of thought and purity of life is one of the greatest challenges people face today. Everywhere we turn, whether it's billboards, television, pop-ups on a computer, the devil is constantly fighting against purity, constantly trying to degrade and downgrade the mind and the heart, even of Christians today. Now, by way of introduction, a couple thoughts or a couple word definitions. A lot of times teenagers and young single adults at camps will ask, what's the difference between adultery and fornication? By the way, how many of you appreciate young people and any Christian really that asks a question and they want to know the difference? Now, the word adultery speaks about sex outside the bounds of marriage. Now, sometimes we use the word affair, but I think the Bible words to be best, and God calls it adultery, that is, relationships outside the bounds of marriage. Fornication, on the other hand, is sex between two unmarried people. So a lot of times when we're preaching to teenagers, the word fornication is the scriptural word, and adultery is the word for adults, especially married adults. Today, we want to learn from the Bible how we can adultery-proof our marriages. We're going to see how that Satan fights against our marriages and how the challenges are real. And then at the end of the message today, we're going to see 8 steps that will strengthen every marriage, every person here that wants to be stronger in their heart in this area. Let's notice as we begin this morning, God's purpose for marriage. And to see this, we're going to go back to the book of Genesis real quickly, and we're going to remember that God ordained marriage. It wasn't instituted by the church, it was instituted by God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." We saw that last week, that man is created in the image of God. And when we think about man and woman, we are reminded, first of all, that he designed marriage for companionship. He designed marriage for companionship. Genesis 2:18 speaks of it. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Now, I have a lot of life verses, but this is one of my favorite verses because I believe God looked down at Adam, and though I'm not big on paraphrasing, I think God could have said something like this: "He is a mess and he needs help." I know that's what God said about me, because when I went to Bible college, I didn't know a thing about so many important things of life. I remember taking all of my dress shirts along with my one blue suit that I had, putting my shirts and my suit into the washing machine, as much soap as I could pour in, and putting the water as hot as it would go, cranking it up and washing all my clothes together. And I think God looked down at me as a freshman in Bible college with my wrinkled shirts and my very shrunken up suit, walking along that campus, and God said, "This boy needs some help." And I believe that God says that about Adam here. He says it's not a good thing for him to be alone. And so God created marriage for companionship. Now, this companionship involves 3 areas of life: the body, the soul, and the spirit. Man is a trichotomy being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God says marriage is a place where the physical needs and the emotional needs and the spiritual needs of a person may be met. And this was his intention in designing marriage. Willard Harley, in his book, His Needs, Her Needs, talks about the different needs that men and women have. And it's really hilarious to read through that book, and time does not permit us to go through the entire list this morning. But let me simply say that as you discover those different needs, it is wrong then for a man to focus only on the needs of the body, or for a woman to emphasize only the needs of the soul and spirit and the mind. It is a responsibility that each of us dwell with the other according to knowledge, and that rather than focusing on our needs only, that we learn how to meet the needs of our spouse, because that is Christ-like love in action, and that is why God designed marriage. And when we step outside of marriage to get some of those needs met, we are not doing the will of God, whether it is the physical or even the emotional flirtation. God says, "Hey, I designed marriage for those particular needs." Proverbs 6:32 says it another way: "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." And I believe that when someone embarks upon a lifestyle of unfaithfulness, there comes a searing of the conscience. There comes a degrading of the soul to the point that it doesn't matter who's preaching or how much Bible or how many visits from the church someone might get. There's just a lack of interest because they have become their own worst enemy as they went along in this lifestyle outside of God's plan. So God designed marriage for companionship. Secondly, God designed marriage for intimacy. You could even switch that around and say God designed intimacy for marriage. Now in Genesis 2:24, he says it this way, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God says, this closeness, this intimacy, I have designed for marriage. In short, monogamy works. One man, one woman, that's God's plan. One man, one woman for life. He says they shall be one flesh. Now, sometimes we have different voices calling out with different plans on this matter, even religious voices. One day, Mark Twain was lecturing up in Utah, and a Mormon acquaintance came up and began to argue with him on the subject of polygamy. After a long and rather heated debate, the Mormon finally said, "Can you find for me a single passage which forbids polygamy?" Twain thought about it. He said, "Yes, I can. No man can serve two masters." Now, that might be a secondary proof text, but the primary proof text is what we're preaching on this morning, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And while there are many differences we have with the Mormon church, their teaching historically on polygamy would certainly be one of those differences, because God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Those who say, "This is the way I'm living," and they embark on this as a pattern of life, God will judge. Now, God's design is that the sexual union will strengthen the existing love within a marriage. God's design is that spirit, soul, and body are united and one. And this is God's pure and perfect plan for marriage. Notice, if you would, secondly this morning, Satan's plan against marriage. How many of you believe that everything good God establishes, the devil's against it, right? God established the home, the devil's against it. God established the church, the devil's against it. God gave wonderful music for worship, the devil has his own kind of music that is degrading and takes us away from God. So Satan, since the very beginning of time, has been fighting against God's people. And let me say this morning, he is as a roaring lion seeking right at this moment whom he may devour. He doesn't want you faithful to your spouse. He doesn't want you faithful to God. He wants to destroy you as you attempt to be faithful for him. And I want to say something else. Not only is the devil a destroyer, the devil is a liar. He is a liar. John 8 and verse 44, the Bible says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, I think this morning that's very basic 101. I mean, the devil is a liar and the devil's fighting your home. But we need to wake up every morning with that awareness, or we'll get blindsided if we're not careful. We need to be alert and ready and know that the devil's fighting our home. Now, Satan lies in order to destroy. Satan will tell lies in order to destroy. And he's an expert at this. He will get you to rationalize. He will tell you it doesn't matter. It won't hurt anybody else. He'll do anything he can to get your home destroyed. Satan will destroy your home. Now let me tell you very quickly some of the lies that he is spreading today. Very quickly, just some of the lies that Satan is spreading. Some things that I think we need to be aware of as the lies of the devil. First of all, Satan will say that sex is a private matter between two people. How many of you have ever heard somebody say that? They'll say, "Well, it's just between us two people and it's not hurting anybody else, so it really doesn't matter." That is one of the lies of the devil. And let me clarify some things about that this morning. In reality, everyone in America is paying for the plague of the so-called sexual revolution in America today. For example, there are 29 known STDs, or sexually transmitted diseases. 29 different diseases that are running rampant. You can't go to the doctor without having brochures given to you about these things and hearing about these things. Why? Because it is the plague of America today, and it is affecting the insurance cost of everyone sitting in this room. There are millions of unwed mothers living on welfare today, and every one of us who pay taxes are paying for that today. Abortion is on demand everywhere in America today. The list goes on and on and on. The idea that it's just between two people and it won't affect the kids and it won't affect the other spouse and it won't affect the culture in which we live is a lie from the devil. and the devil is a liar and the father of it. Another lie of the devil is this: we must be free from Christianity's repression. Why, these old Victorian ways, I mean, look at, we just need to get back to the old days in the park in San Francisco where we can just live and let live, and the rock and roll culture has promoted this concept that we don't need the old fuddy fundamentalist telling us how to live, and that we just need to live and be free is the message of the world. Well, a recent article by Dr. Francis Braceland, the president of the American Psychiatric Association, indicated that one of the growing problems amongst teenagers in America today is their emotional breakdowns related to the promiscuity amongst teens. In other words, psychiatrists and counselors are finding that young people are becoming desperate, they are becoming suicidal, they are living with hearts filled with anger and rage, and that the promiscuity is one of the great contributing factors. In other words, they might watch their MTV, and they might watch Madonna in her sacrilegious and ungodly tour where she hangs up on a cross and mocks my Jesus, and they may see all of the gyrations and the sexual acts on the screen, and they might think it's funny, and between the ages of 14 and 17, they are becoming more and more promiscuous and more sexually active, and yet they're not finding more and more freedom. They're not getting happier and happier and happier. They are getting more and more and more burdened, because the devil's a liar. The devil sold them a lie. Another lie of the devil is we must discover our sexual identity. And that lie is being pushed upon children today. Textbooks in New York State have titles like Heather Has Two Mommies to teach children about ungodly lifestyles at a very young age. We ought to thank God for leaders in this state like Assemblywoman Runner, who has done her best to stem the tide of anti-family legislation that would bring this kind of curriculum into the schools here in the Antelope Valley. We need to stand up and say, we don't need that kind of a curriculum in the schools of our children, perverting the minds of our children. Children don't need to discover their sexuality. They'll discover that soon enough. That's one of the many reasons I'm against these blogs for the kids, one of them called MySpace.com, where millions of teenagers are on it. I'll be bringing a message in November about this subject. When the children sign up for this, they have to fill out a profile. On their profile, they have to tell this computer company, in order to enter the club, in order to get into the chat rooms, they have to tell whether they're straight, bi, or gay. Any pervert, Mr. Rupert Murdoch owns that company, any pervert that's going to ask a 14-year-old child that question has some problems. All they're doing is giving more information to the pedophiles who live on those kinds of chat rooms. But the devil's saying, well, we got to help them discover their sexual identity. The cry and temptation of the world is to use God's gift of sexuality as a means for selfish desires. And what we need to realize this morning is that God gave the gift of sexuality as an expression of love within the bounds of marriage between a man and a woman for life. And those things don't need to be posted by a 14-year-old child. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And I know what someone might say, well, Lancaster Baptist, Ten Commandments, that's all you're going to get. Bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, I just want you to know something, my friend. We don't need to come here to just hear what we want to hear. We need to hear exactly what God's Word says. And God is a holy God, and His Bible is filled not with suggestions, but with commandments. And we need to know that it is the will of God, verse 7. He has called us not to uncleanness, but to holiness. That's why I thank God our teenagers are being challenged this morning by holy and godly men to live holy and godly lives. And we need that challenge ourselves in our own lives today. I like what professional basketball player A.C. Green says about this. He says, "When I became a Christian, I made a vow. I resolved not to be with a woman until I was married. Often they would call our hotel room, but the same hand that picked up the phone can hang it up again. We all have the power of choice, but once used, our choice then has power over us." You see, Satan will tell you lies in order to destroy your marriage. Secondly, Satan tempts in order to destroy your marriage. Now, I know this is heavy. I know you don't see this on primetime television. Primetime says, look, it just live however you want to live. Have fun out there in life. I know that. But bear with me for just a moment this morning as we look at this very important subject, because Satan is a tempter and a destroyer. Notice in your notes, James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Someone says, well, I've been doing some things on the side, and I've kind of been emotionally involved or physically involved, and I'm okay right now. Listen, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Just because you haven't been caught, just because it's still going on and things seem to be okay, doesn't mean you have fooled a holy God. Satan is tempting all the time, and his ultimate desire is to destroy your family. That's why the devil tries to get some of you out of this church every way, shape, and form. The devil knows you need preaching like this. You don't need a rock festival and a little let's gather around the table and share our thoughts. We need to know, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord's will is that we would live faithfully within our marriage. Now then, the rapid growth of pornography has encouraged many through the internet, through the magazines, to take sex into a private world, which is not an expression of love, but a means of lust. And I bring this up because it is just one step towards adultery. It is the devil's way of tempting and bringing a thought pattern into play that is against the will of God. In his book, God's Good Life, David Field describes the spiritual equivalent of having sex outside of marriage. He describes the spiritual equivalent to that to glue sniffing. He says someone who's having sexual thoughts all by themselves somewhere is like the guy over in the corner sniffing glue. Well, why does he say that? Well, just think about this illustration for a moment. You see, the purpose of glue is to hold two objects together. How many of you are with me right now? Not too deep, is it? The purpose of glue is to hold two objects together. How many of you teach Sunday school or in a public school or Christian school? Let me see where the teachers are, all right? So you know what I'm talking about. You put bulletin boards together and arts and crafts. I could take these two pieces of paper and I could put glue in the middle, and the purpose is to hold them together. Now then, when glue is used for that purpose, it's a marvelous thing to see a bulletin board put together. But when a person sneaks off into the corner and he's using glue to get high, that's a perverted use of glue. That's not the purpose of glue. The purpose of glue is to hold two things together. And when a person takes sexual objects and pictures and the like, and he gets off in a corner by himself, he is taking what God gave to a husband and wife to keep them together, and like a junkie in the corner, he's using something for a purpose that God did not intend, you see. And hence he is falling to the temptation of the devil. Sex is not for self-serving indulgence. It is for an expression of love in the context of marriage. And the more self-centered a person comes, the more unscriptural their behavior in this area. They talk dirty. They text dirty. They look at dirty things. They live in the high and the buzz of a lifestyle that is more and more degrading. Why? Because Satan is fighting and they are losing. Say, well, this is not a very encouraging message so far. Well, like so many portions of Scripture, we have to know exactly what we're battling so that we can know how to have the victory. See, if I'm going to go over to Iraq, I not only want every bomb and every bullet I can get for my side, but I want to know what the enemy is shooting at me.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying a series entitled Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. It's a verse-by-verse study of the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. Friend, the most overarching truth of this study is that apart from God, we cannot overcome these struggles. These laws are impossible for us to keep in and of ourselves, which is why we so desperately need Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.